פטט, בגמרא סדר רב יוסף על שבועות, היה מכין עגלת טלטה, פיג, סעודה, בשר, יין, שישר, רבנו, למה, למה זה? שישר, אליו היומה כמה יוסף עיקה בשוקה. He said it, he said, his name was Yosef, he says, if not for this day, I wouldn't be Yosef, I wouldn't be Rav Yosef, I would be Joe Schmo. Hey, it's on that one, remember, huh? Shavuot, Kabbalat HaTorah. Understand? It's a schut. Yalla, bon nilmad. P.
Yeah, I think we're Moshe Katav, last one on Opa Tzadikin.
Action. Oh, we're rolling? Oh, that was like a hot mic. Evanti. So, so anyway, Gabi, the boss got sneaky. Anyway, okay. So, the kids are. How do you say it? Boss move? The boss move. Anyway. So, Boker Tov Rabotai, Yom 50 Shabbat Kodesh, Leseder Emor LaKohanim, one page P. So he's continuing, describing the fine line, the distinction between simcha and hollelut. וכמו שכתב הרב אורחות צדיקים, זה לשונו, המידה הזאת באה לאדם מחמת רוב שלווה בליבו, בלי פגרה. How do you really earn simcha? It's a result of being calm. שלוות הנפש. You think calm people in this world reach that because they don't have problems? You know, people have told me before, when they ask me sometimes about certain names, when they want to name their children, so sometimes some rabbanim say, you know, you can't name, you know, Plonit. I once heard this. Shtuyot. And I'll tell you, Rachel, ze lo shem tov. Why? Because she suffered. She had a hard life. And then, you know, you can't. I said, and we start talking about names, whatever. I said, can I stop you for a second? In kol hakavod leotam rabbanim and whatever. Let me ask you a question. Do you know anybody who is anybody in the history of the Jewish people, in Tanakh, in Shas, whatever, that didn't suffer until they got to what they got? You know anybody who didn't suffer? Not only that, the Rashi HaKadosh quotes the Midrash right in the beginning of Parashat Vayeshev, Vayeshev Yaakov Beretz Megurei, what is it, Vayeshev? Says Rashi HaKadosh, Bikesh Yaakov Lishev B'Shalva, Kafatz Alav Rogzo Shel Yosef. Right, Yaakov Avinu, he was, you know, tired already. He had Isa, Vilavan, ooh, he just got to Eretz Yisrael and says, let me just sit down and learn. Because Yaakov Leshev B'Shalva, boom, Yosef, 22 years. He says, Lo Dayan La Tzadikim, yeah, Mash Mukhan Laim La'atid Lavo, Eno Makshim Leshev B'Shalva Ba'olam Hazeh. Which means, the way to become a Yaakov Avinu is through suffering. So what does that even mean? What is a Shtuyot V'Havalim Mamash?
Did you ever invite you to change your name? I read it in one book, they changed me from Yosef to Avadia because of a bad name.
Ma pitom? No. Maran Zichrono Livracha's name from birth was actually in Arabic, Abdullah Yusuf, right? That's, which really translated into Lashon HaKodesh, is Ovadia Yosef. It was common in Arabic lands to, I mean, they used to go back and forth, but Hebraicize Arabic names and Arabicize Hebraic names. Very much like Ashkenazim do with Yiddish. Shlomo, Zalman, yeah? Dov, Ber, Bechin al Zeh Aderech, nechon? Anyway, his name at birth was Ovadia Yosef. Ovadia, he was named after his grandfather. Yosef, he was named after the Ben Ish Chai. Now, in Baghdad, they didn't have last names. They didn't do last names. It wasn't a thing. Sephardim weren't always last name people. I'm saying? When he got to Eretz Yisrael at the age of 4, so they came, and the Misrad HaPnim, they said, okay, just for paperwork, you have to choose a last name. So he said, I don't know, what should I do? So they told, not him, but his father. His father's name was Rabbi Yaakov. So he says, what am I going to choose for my last name? So like many Iraqis, what they did was, they chose their father's name. You know, like many Iraqis have last names that are first names? Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu, Rabbi Yosef Chaim. So his father, when he got to Israel, which was then Palestine, yeah, or the Palestinian, there was never a country called Palestine, but it was the Palestinian mandate of the British Empire at the time. So he said, okay, I'll choose my father's name, Ovadia. So he called himself Yaakov Ovadia. That was his name. So for the other kids, it stuck. Maran Zichron Berachah had a few brothers and sisters, Avraham, Naim. So Avraham Ovadia, Naim Ovadia. But for him himself, it was a little Ovadia, Yosef Ovadia. It didn't have a nice ring to it. So for Tkufa, he changed it to Mizrahi. A lot of people don't know that. Because he was Mizrahi, he was from Arzot HaMizrach. But he didn't really like that either. So he just dropped it. He just dropped it. And then when you're Maran Zichron Berachah, you don't need a last name. You know what I'm saying? Just like the Gemara says, many of the Tannaim v'Amuraim and Shas, how come many of them don't have Rabbi? The Gemara says, Gadol Mirabban Shemo. You're too big to... If you added a B, you didn't need a last name. That was just, but really, people think. And then when he had children, his children adopted his second name as their last name. Ivanta, that's all it is. That's the history in a nutshell. The common misnomer. Yeah, his name was Rabbeinu Ovadia Yosef. That was part. He had two names. It's like, I have two names. Yeah. Anyway, Bekitza, that's a little history. Ben Ishchai's name was not Yosef Haim. We've been through this before. Ben Ishchai's name was Rabbeinu Yosef. Haim was his last name. Re'aya Meforeshet, the way he signed his name, he signed the name always. Yosef Haim ben Eliyahu ben Moshe Haim. Haim was the family's last name. He was Yosef. His father was Eliyahu. His grandfather was Moshe. That's why sometimes it's funny, people try to name after the Ben Ishchai and they give the name Yosef Haim. Because it's a beautiful name. But just know, that's like, if somebody, you know, wanted to name after me, they'd make Elbaz a part of the first name. No, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Okay, fine. Yosef Haim has a beautiful mashmaut, it's great. But that wasn't his actual name, his name was Yosef. Beseder? Okay, now. Anyway, back to the Orchot Tzadikim. He says a person can only reach Simcha through Shalva Amitit. Shalva, calm, tranquility, doesn't come from the lack of problems. Doesn't come from the lack of suffering. If you lack suffering, you're dead. Human beings suffer. Adam le'amal yudad. Shalva comes from being able to tolerate the suffering and knowing that it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and therefore being able to deal with it better. Yes? Now he says, V'adam ha-masig ta'avato v'lo yira lo davar ma'atziv oto b'zeh yeh sameach tadir v'yoru panav. If a person is able to achieve what he wants and there's nothing that he lets bother him, he'll always be happy. His face will shine. V'zivom avhik. His shine will shine forth. V'gufo bari, he'll be healthy. V'en zikna memaheret lavo alav. He won't age quickly. Everybody today, you know what I'm saying, they're looking for all sorts of anti-aging. They're looking to fight HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know what I'm saying? It's like Migdal Bavel. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to wage war on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put zikna in the bri'ah. And not only that, if you look in the beginning of Parashat Toledot, Rashi, quoting the Midrash, says that zikna was a gift. We learned it out from the pasuk of Avraham Zaken Baba Yamim. It was a gift. Why? Because until that point, everybody, Yitzchak Avinu, resembled Avraham Avinu, and people came to talk to Avraham Avinu. They spoke to Yitzchak. Ve'abalagan. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He did zikna. He made it. It's a gift. So people now try to undo it, you know, injections here, lips there, you know what I'm saying? Huh? Take, you know, hair from here and put it there. Let a Kadosh Baruch Hu do his job. Ma atan nilcham ba Kadosh Baruch Hu. Vehi lo titzlach. It's not going to work. Eventually, you think the injections work, right? You know what I'm talking about? The Botox zach and whatever fillers. It makes your face look contorted, right? You look mamash kmo, like, I don't know, like an amoeba, and then. And then afterwards, you know, after your face deflates a little bit, a few months later, you have to inflate it again, you know what I'm saying? Let it go. The simanim shel tshuva, a wrinkle here, boldness here, white there. Siman shel tshuva. You're not getting any younger. What are you trying to fight the tshuva process? Accept it. Good.
What do you tell people who say, oh, but Hashem gave us the ability to get our hair back, so why wouldn't I do that?
I'm not saying it's a sur. I'm not saying whatever.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to tell you a halachic thing with these hair treatments that they go to Turkey or Mexico or all these places. First of all, you have to be very careful because, by the way, you have to go through general anesthesia for this procedure. You can wake up without a lung, you know, without a kidney. They harvest organs and sell it to the highest bidder. So you have to be very careful. I know it's cheaper in these places, but like, you know, you'll have hair, but you might be missing a kidney. So like, you know, the trade-off might not. I've heard of crazy stories. Whoops, yeah, you lost a gallbladder. And then, we were looking for hair and your gallbladder fell out. Kodem kol. Number two, halachically. You know, when you do the hair transplants, I looked into this, into the procedure. You can't touch the hair and it has to be wrapped for a certain amount of days. You can't wear tefillin. You can't move it. You can only wear the tefillin on top of the gauze and very gingerly, so you can't even be mehadik. So even according to the Rashba, who Maran disagrees with in Siman Kafe, who allows, the Rashba allows putting the tefillin shel rosh al kova katan, duck, over here you can't even tighten it. So you're mamash going weeks without tefillin shel rosh.
I heard a full rosh, you can do a full load of Pesach in 1 week.
Oh yeah, isn't it? Oh, Erev Pesach like?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe. But I think Ashka, if somebody really wants hair and you need Shidduchim or his wife, you know, are you going to gamble mitzvah tefillin? You're going to, for what? If a person has a hard time in Shidduchim, shamati, ask a shayla, ani mevin. I would say to talk about it. I would say to discuss it. Just like, you know, a woman who, I've gotten these shalas before also, a woman who needs a nose job for shidduchim. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I'm not saying, it's a kind of, we call these aesthetic procedures. Elective, aesthetic. Insurance doesn't cover these things. Yeah, why? Because it's not necessary. That's okay, huh? Not necessarily for, deviated septum is a medical thing. So you have, you know, sometimes a girl or even a man, they have an overly Jewish nose. And
combination of
Persian. What, Persians have noses like, I never really. if it causes a shidduchim situation, I hear, shamati, okay, fine. Just like the poskim discuss whether or not a person, let's say he's a little bit older, or even if he's not older, his hair is graying or whitening, and he needs to dye it for shidduchim, because he wants to look a little bit younger, more fresh, whatever. Poskim discuss it. Nowadays, it's much easier anyway, because lahalacha nowadays, men afilu lechatechila are allowed to dye their hair. Ve'in beze mishum lo ilbash gever simlat isha. Why, Shmuel? It's very, very widespread. Rov ha'anashim ba'ir do it. That's why, look in any pharmacy. How many men's hair care dyeing products are there? Amon, because they do it. Maran HaShulchan Aruch discusses it. Yeah. Find it. Depends. I wouldn't say whole body. Down there, the Goanim, the Ben Ishchai has a tshuva about it, about trimming it. Trimming it is for sure mutar. I gave a shir about this, by the way. You can look it up. I don't know about here, but yeah. Maybe it's a good topic to speak. No, be'emet. You know, bet ha-shechi, bet ha-arva, yesh b'zeh halachot. Yeah. Whatever, there's halachot about it. But that hit there is when you mamash shave the entire body with a tar, and that's very uncommon. Huh?
Every other way is a
lager. Yeah. You can trim down, everybody agrees, just trimming down a little bit, so it's a little bit more comfortable with misparayim, bet ha-shechi u bet ha-arva is mutar. The shayla is giluach bata'ar. That's the shayla. Yeah, that's the big shayla. Anyway, maybe we'll speak, it's a good topic for a shayla. Lo ilbash gever is really in parashat kitetze. So we'll speak about Bezat Hashem. Aval ma, the point is people look for all sorts of external things, yani, to make them happy and pretty and handsome. That's not where it comes from. You have to accept. Nowadays, there's also in Goyish, you know, concept, self-acceptance, self-love. That's also, it's not self-acceptance, self. It's acceptance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem made you who you are, whatever. If there's a problem, you ask a Shaila to see how to navigate it, whatever, that's a different thing. What are you looking at? Whoever your Shiduch is, whoever she is, you know something? I'll tell it to you very pashut. Either she'll love you for who you are, or she won't love you at all. Kol ha'shiar ze shtuyot. Remember that. The hair is this way, the nose is that way, unless you're mamash, something yotze me'aklal, which Baruch Hashem, or Bnei Torah, Mishichman v'ma'ala, said about Shaul HaMelech, Haye Yafe, Mishichmo v'ma'ala, Gavua mikol ha'am, handsome, v'ze b'li ha'inara, you don't have shaylas here. But I'm saying, you don't have to worry about that. Saying if there's a serious shaila, so okay, fine. You find in shaila to tshuvot, shailas happen, you deal with it. Aval stam to pachke with debris, you know what pachke means? You can mess around with the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Briah. There's an idon in the poskim, any elective surgeries, you know, plastic surgeries on the face and other parts of the body, yim zebichlal mutar, because you're subjecting yourself to bodily harm. Every surgery inherently comes with risk of harm, death. Shelo tedu, you ever went for a surgery? I've had surgery before in my thyroid. And you know what they make you sign? I don't mean none. You're signing without, yeah, sign here, sign here. You know what it says? Shmuel knows what it says.
I just had a procedure on my nose like a week or two.
Your parents
ago.
Do surgery? As a pashut, I mean, it's liability waivers, and then you're signing that if you happen to drop dead on the table, yadenu nekiim. You know, that's yadenu lo shafichu et adam hazeh. I say this vart all the time. I don't remember who I heard it from, but it's a tremendous mashal. You know, when you go to a doctor, you always look into his credentials. Where do you study? Did he graduate top of his class? You ask so many questions, and then what? A second opinion, and then a third opinion before any surgery. Yeah, I did that. People do that. You do that. Interestingly, when was the last time you walk onto a plane and you start interrogating the pilot? Where'd you learn? How many hours have you flown? Any incidents in your past, whatever? You know who your pilot is, Bichlal? Ichpat lecha? How do you know he's not drunk? How do you know he's not on drugs? How do you know he's not suicidal? You ever think about that? What's the difference? Yeah, David Shlomi, remember my verse. What's the chiluk? Vaz? A doctor, a surgeon, he's doing the surgery, he's good, whatever, but at the end of the day, if something goes tragically wrong, you know, it's very sad, but what? The patient is dead, yeah, or messed up, and the doctor, what? Olech habayta. By a pilot, you're all in the same boat or plane. If the plane goes down, the pilot's going down with it. Therefore, what? He has more of a sense of achayu. Therefore, I don't feel the need to check as more, to check as much as I do for a surgeon. It's a vart. When you're aimo anochi b'tzara with somebody, you're yotez samuch libo lo yira. You're more samuch on the person. The davar gadol. All right, people. Yom tov, Shabbat shalom. We'll continue that.